Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, so my name's Adam Lasky. I'm calling in from New Jersey. And right now, I'm doing advising work, consulting work in the marketing space, D2C. Yeah, that's where my history has been.
Awesome. So how did you get into D2C marketing in the first place?
That's a great question. I wonder that myself sometimes. So before I was a marketer in D2C, I was a public school teacher. And I taught public school in Brooklyn. It was middle school grades, 6 and 7. And I absolutely hated it. Teaching middle school kids, like preteens, kind of like that age range is just really horrible. So I turned down tenure, did not want to teach after my 3 years were up. And I looked for any job imaginable, like entry level, anything. I even started looking into like trade schools, perhaps like, maybe be an electrician, plumber, what have you. And it was almost by accident that I got this job as an SEO coordinator at this e-com company. I had been running this was back in, 2010, 2011. I had been running this like photo blog of like little miniature, like clay beans. And I was like taking them on journeys. Like I would take them up to Boston and like photo them in like touristy locations. And the recruiter for this company saw my blog and hired me just because of like I took really good photos of clay beans. And so I started as an SEO coordinator, did not know anything about SEO, didn't really know anything about anything, but I was really good at learning on the fly and learning quickly. And so that's how I got my start, was accidental, 100%.
Awesome. So I guess in terms of today, right? So like, are you working with certain brands, or I guess like how exactly do you work with people in 2024?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And it's recent. So I just stepped down as a CEO of a company and really wanted to get back into marketing. And so right now I'm advising a couple of companies, Kickstarter for one, a couple of other D2C e-com companies. And really what I provide is kind of like a suite of marketing expertise and consulting options. So for one company, I had to advise and really get my hands dirty and build a Google Ads program from scratch. So I was brought in and really was more of a tactician than an advisor. But for others, it's more like long-term strategic thinking, like where do we want to go? Do we want to move to physical retail as well as e-com? Another company I'm doing some advising for, just like standing up like Google Tag Manager, Meta Pixels, Google G Tags. So it's like a range of services that I advise on. I also am part of a 700 person PPC group. I was one of the founding members, and there I consult and advise and coach like up and coming PPC experts, people that need help, that might be a year into their career, 2 years into their career, want to get some advice on how to structure a Google Ads program. So yeah, it's it runs the range.
So I mean, I guess obviously there is a huge debate now in e-commerce. I know I'm assuming that you're probably more in favor of the Google side of things, that people are saying, oh, like Meta is better, TikTok is better. I mean, obviously, like when you're advising, you're working with different brands, like Do you feel they should be on all these different channels, or is Google really like the main one that you're focused on 100%?
I like Google, but when I talk to and advise brands, and that is a question that I get asked often is, should we be on Facebook? Should we be on TikTok? And my answer is always, it depends. It depends on where your customers are. It depends on where your ideal customer profile lives, right? Like it's maybe they do live on Meta, maybe they do live on TikTok and Google, but you don't know until you test into that. And so really my approach with to that question is more of like a MVP, like launch an MVP, test, iterate, and see if that's where your customer, if those platforms are where your customers live. Fail fast, fail cheap, get learnings and then move on. So it could be that they do live in Meta. Great. Run Meta campaigns, and this is how you could potentially structure those campaigns. TikTok, great. If they live on TikTok, fine. Let's build a marketing program there. So honestly, it depends. I know that's like a cop-out answer, but there's really no hard and fast rule there.
For sure. But I guess like in 2024, right, when you're working with these brands, like what do you think, sets the brands apart that are successful versus the ones that are not successful, nowadays?
Yeah, I would say two things. Number one is the offer. If your offer is not the enticing is the wrong word. If you don't have the best offer, and if you're not solving your customer's problem better than others, better than your competitor set, then it doesn't matter where you're marketing, where you're living, where you're trying to target your customers. If your offer isn't first class, it's not going to matter. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, I think what separates brands is creative. The ability to hook someone within the first 3 seconds of them seeing either your ad, your video, what have you, it's creative 100%. And if you're not investing heavily in a not just the creative assets, but investing in a testing program where you're learning what the creatives are telling you or what the creative performance is telling you, what customers are telling you through, whether they're clicking or viewing or not viewing, and having like that rapid ad creation loop that's based in learnings. That's what I think separates those top brands from the brands that fall by the wayside.
For sure. I feel like all the top brands, like you said, right, are running tons and tons of A/B testing. Like I always say, it's like the top brands in America, obviously they have, tons of budget, but like they're running, 3,000, 4,000 plus different ad copies per year, and that's because to your point, you're constantly testing and iterating based on the current trends.
Yeah, exactly. And think about, what Google, I'll pick on Google and Meta in this example, but what Google and Meta are doing is they're basically leveling the playing field. So what I mean by that is, back in 2010, 2014, 2016, what have you, there were ways that brands and specifically marketers could get in front of audiences just by pulling some different levers, structuring their campaigns differently, targeting specific keywords and art audiences. There were like ways to kind of like nuance that. But now with, Performance Max, broad targeting, Advantage Plus, Google and Facebook have basically leveled that playing field as they've taken away those advantages and basically allowed or told marketers to trust them in their targeting. And so what's the differentiator then? Well, it's got to be creative. It's got to be what you're saying to your customers, because all those different targeting options are going by the wayside. Same thing with Google. How are your Performance Max assets better than your competition? How is your offer better than the competition? There's no like secret sauce, or I should say, the things that separated marketers in 2016 are no longer viable.
For sure. So obviously now in 2024, everybody's looking for the best use case of AI, right? That's kind of like the buzzword of now, of nowadays. So I guess in your opinion, like where do you feel AI plays a role when it comes to e-commerce ads specifically?
I think that is the question, right? So I view AI's role in a number of different ways. Number one, I think it's a thought starter. It helps unblock marketers when they're trying to come up with creative ideas to test, copy to test, things like that. Potential, now with like creative AI, potential images to it's almost like a jumping off point. And so that's kind of where I've started with my, working with AI, working with, ChatGPT and Gemini. But also there's ways to use AI to, let's say, write ad scripts for Google, ways to automate some of your workflows, and kind of like tease out some of the data points that you would need. You could, there's ChatGPT has an ad script bot that you can use to create those ad scripts. So there's a couple of different ways that AI plays a role.
So I guess, like, do you feel like there's value for AI in the form of like a chat, where it's like a chat bot, like the AI chat bots that are coming out now? Do you think that's something that, for the brands that you work with, would you recommend them adding something like that, like on their website, if they're running traffic from Google to landing pages, for example?
Like using AI, like an AI chatbot, like on site to help guide customers. Yeah, I think so. I think there is value there. I mean, it's you're basically gathering data points, right? You're kind of understanding, where those users are experiencing pain points, where they're dropping off, why are they dropping off. I think AI is a really good data collection tool. And an analysis tool that can help marketers kind of come up with what the next tactic would be, or kind of validate kind of a longer term strategy or a hypothesis on what the next move is.
For sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got into e-commerce in the first place?
Oh man. Gosh, that is a great question. If I could go back in time and tell myself something, I would say it's not about it. How do I put this? It might sound simple, but it's the understand your customer. Understand your customer first. Don't go straight to like marketing campaigns and like building. Don't go straight to building. Understand your customer first. Understand their real pain points. And then solve the problem. Don't come with a solution first and then like try to find people with that problem. Understand the problem first, because brands that understand the problem first are better adapt to solve it for those customers. So yeah, that's what I would say.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business and just for e-commerce in general?
I think e-com is going to, that's a good question. And I'm of kind of like two minds. First, I see, because barrier to entry is so low, I see an extreme fragmentation of e-com, very hyper niche. That's kind of like one side. But at the same time, I do, and this is something that I fought against, in my two other companies that I either ran or ran marketing for, Google and Meta trying to commoditize brands and keep the user experience on Google or in Meta and really own the customer there. And you can also then say Amazon as well. So I think like brands are really going to have to distinguish themselves to fight against becoming an undifferentiated commodity, as Google just continues to eat up, that Google and Meta and Amazon. I think it's like a war between those three, to be honest with you.
What about TikTok? Are they in the picture?
I don't know, man. I mean, to be honest, I love TikTok. I'm on it all the time. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if they can, if they're gonna monetize well and establish trust. We'll talk US specifically. I think that's obviously that's where they're going, but it'll be interesting to see if you know, what they were solving for first, or like kind of like their initial offering, which was entertainment, if they can kind of pivot that in a way that, you know, the e-com platform is A, trustworthy, and B, better than what brands can offer on site. Like, I don't know. So I'm still kind of, the jury's out for me.
Right.
Yeah.
They're definitely trying to. I mean, I feel like all these reels you see from, you know, these brands, like they usually go viral on TikTok first and then go viral on Instagram. So it's like, that's kind of where they like originate from, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I have been very close to purchasing on TikTok, but I don't know. I just can't get over the hump of like, is this real? Like, like these, and that's the thing, like these brands, these no-name brands, and I'm just speaking from personal experience. I could be 100% wrong, but there's no brand, like the brands that I'm seeing or the brands that I get ads for that I like might purchase, I might not. I have no idea who they are. I don't know if it's going to be scam or not, right? Like, and so I think that there's gonna, and because of the low barrier to entry, you can have these, I'm not gonna call them shady brands, but brands with no trust or very little trust.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, and I've talked to people that have quote unquote like gotten all their sales from organic TikTok. You know, I mean,
yeah,
we have people like on this podcast, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and like to be honest, I would love it if TikTok became a major player, because I think that allows marketers and brands to like add another channel into their marketing mix and not rely on Google and Meta, you know. So if CPCs and CPMs start to rise on these other channels, well, at least we have TikTok, or at least we have, you know, another channel that we can rely on to bring, you know, to bring traffic to the site.
For sure. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So best ways to get in contact with me. So I do have a website. It's adamlasky.me. And then you can also find me on LinkedIn, and my handle on LinkedIn is Adam J. Lasky.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate it.
Likewise. All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.